Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Cop Eye Podcast.
What is happening, Reds? Welcome back to the Cop Eye Podcast. It is the Luton reaction show with a bit of Brentford mixed in there, since we haven't reacted to that one yet. But as always, it is Mick Moran and Christian Anderson, full named again. I'll probably forget next show, but here we are. But yeah, before we get stuck into two boss 4-1 wins, back to the top of the table, 4 points clear again for now. Loads of boss stuff. And Christian, how are you doing, lad? How's it going?
Very good, despite, you know, all the injuries that we talked about and the situation that we are in terms of players available or not. I'm very good. I'm just enjoying this ride that we see with Liverpool now, and we will talk about it, but, you know, how many goals we've scored in recent games and the performance that we put in and the teamwork and, you know, the great morality that is in the team as well. So I'm just busting at the moment because we're going towards the end of the season, but we're going in a situation where it's difficult now because of the injuries. But, you know, it's just something about Liverpool that, I don't know, it's just something special about this group of players that obviously Klopp is the father of. And now with his last, you know, season with us, hopefully they can create something special. You know, we're obviously not there yet, but it's just a great feeling, and I enjoy every single second of this ride because you don't have that too often in life, and there's so many supporters to teams out there that don't never experience this kind of roller coasters or great moments in time being a supporter. So I'm gonna just, you know, suck it all in and just enjoy.
Exactly. Milk it. That's what I always say. Like, just enjoy enjoy everything, because I think it's this day and age, it's too easy just to be like worrying about other stuff and injuries and whatever. And I was very worried last night. But before we get into last night, there was another very good win over Brentford. Of course, we'd done the preview show and we were talking about like mini hoodoos not winning there since they got promoted at their place going into the game. Salah being back in the squad, which was a nice boost back on the bench. But to go there and win 4-1 in the manner that we did, with the fact that we got the two injuries, I think it was Jones and Jota within 10 minutes, was it? Something like that. It was quite close together. But I just think it's mad that if that happened to any other club, I mean, there's probably a few in the, maybe City or Arsenal in the Premier League who could like lose the striker and lose the first choice centre mid and just be able to change them and crack on. But when we get into Luton, I think that's going to be a different story when you're missing. I think it was 11 players we were missing. But just on the Brentford game, then like we might as well talk about the goals quickly before we get stuck into Luton properly, because that was the proper satisfying one, I thought, in terms of both massively important. But I just thought the way the game was going, the Luton one was a bit of a crazy one. But the Brentford one was, yeah, Nunes getting his goal, because I think we started the game all right, I guess. But you could see Brentford, you could see exactly what they were going to do, what we said on the preview show. Long balls, trying to get at the flick-ons, runs in behind. That's what they're so good at. Brentford are so good at those counter-attacks. And it works against the bigger clubs, because we come out and there's those spaces in behind to penetrate and get in behind. So, but the goal from Nunes, which we have to probably spend 5 minutes on, I've watched it again this morning, and I've probably watched it about 40, 50 times anyway. But like, just the absolute hoof from Van Dijk, because it's like, well, fuck this, clear it. Jota's little nod into his path, which is perfect. Then Nunes, like, we're talking about him, and we're like, we've said before, like, in situations where he's one-on-one, you're like, right, you could go around him, you're quick enough, you could slot it in the corner, you could play Jota back in quite easily. He chooses the most difficult fucking option. He trade chips the keeper, and I was just like, I honestly couldn't believe it, because what I really enjoyed, I loved the goal, but I also loved it was like a moment where after he's chipped it, it's in the air. And one of the moments I think I spoke about where you can hear the opposition in the background going, "Way," because they think he's fucked it. And then all of a sudden it lands in the back of the net, and you could hear our fans going absolutely mental. But I absolutely love that fella, because we say he's box office every single week, but the stuff that he's doing, he's taking the piss. He's taking the piss, really, chipping the keeper when he's got so many options. But an absolute amazing goal in a key game at a key moment. Like, the first goal in a game like this was massive, and yeah, boss to see Nunes get it.
Yeah, you know, you're talking about all the times that hits the bar or the post, and you know, in terms of, you know, we look at the stats, but you know, in his mind, he's the best striker in the world. He's got so much self-confidence. He just do it. And I know that it's been discussed, you know, here and there, and about how, you know, something, I think it was Michael Owen, obviously being a striker himself, talking about, you know, how you can finish as a striker with, you know, simple finishing, I would say. Well, it's not simple, but you practice it and you do the right finishing, the ones that are, you know, more have a chance to actually go into the net. This one is not the one. But, you know, I agree with what he said. You know, you should sometimes maybe be experienced and learn that you're gonna be do the simple stuff, like you're one-on-one with the keeper, just take it to the side and, you know, let him just lay down, or and you can just put it in, or you can pass to Jota, whatever, you can do the right decisions if you like. But you know, instead he does the hardest bit and the hardest finishing, but it's brilliant, and that's why we love him, and that's what I want to see. You know, I you know, when I lived in England and went to the match, that's the things you want to see if you pay for your ticket. You want to see us win, obviously. But that's what you want to see as a football supporter, even if you're in the stands or if you're in front of the TV. That is the moments you do live for, you know, when you score brilliant goals or doing stupid things. You don't want to see it every time. You want to see him be clever in front of goal. But when he does that at that time, you know, it just makes you happy, you know, it makes you feel, you know, it's boss that is playing for us, and you can see that he got so much in his locker, you know, the talent he has. And I love the fact, like I started this rant, the self-confidence, you know, he never lets anything bring him down when he misses or hits the post or whatever. He just continues, and that's what I love with him, because it's shown mental strength from his side. And yeah, the finish is boss. And I think if he can just continue like this now with the way that he plays and being involved, you know, not just only now, even post Klopp, because he obviously with the next manager coming in, he's got so much that, you know, you can't look away, and he will be, you know, the main man in the front three for us, you know, going forward. It's brilliant. I love him, and everyone knows. Obviously.
Everyone knows it, definitely we do. But yeah, what a guy. And I mentioned like the injuries as well. Like, so Jones gets injured and Gravenberg comes on, and Jota gets injured and Salah comes on. So Salah comes on 10 minutes after the goal, just before half time. And you're thinking, it's not too bad. But because Salah's just back from injury, to play him for 45 minutes was probably wasn't on the script, he was probably going to bring them on for maybe the last 10, maybe 15, just to give them 10 minutes in the legs. But yeah, going in at 1-0, I think I was so happy that we were 1-0 up, of course, because it's so massive, but the two injuries just kind of soured it a little bit. You just thought Brentford are a decent side, they're more than capable of getting on the ball and making stuff happen. And I mean, bringing on Gravenberch and Salah, it's not too bad, is it, really, when you consider subs and you're looking at the bench and you can bring on players of that calibre, which is it's just ridiculous. Like when we say like squad depth and other stuff in previous years where we've not really added this year, which is just game by game, it's ridiculous. Like you might think they might be like a bit depleted in terms of confidence or energy levels in terms of what they've been showing. I think Gravenberch in particular, but I think coming in back into the side and showing his quality again, I think was boss. But and we're going into the second half, and I think again, like the second goals, that's a key time, like McAllister, like 10 minutes after the half, and Salah's involved, and he does what Salah does, and he's not just a goal machine, like we always say, he's an assist machine as well. He really is like a proper creator, and he's fully on board with that. And the little pass into Macha, I think on one of the previous shows, we were saying like since Endo's came back, McAllister maybe looked not lost, but I think like being out of that sixth position a little bit as maybe took him a game or two just to get back into it. But since then, he's been back to himself. But getting into those positions where that's why we want him further up the field, because that coolness in the box where he takes that touch and then just gets a toe. A big Argentinian toe on it, and it goes in the back of the net. And especially again, like I always reference timing of goals. I always think it's so massive, and to get it the second on 55 just kills them off a bit, because I think then that prompts them to like, well, now we need to bring on subs. We need to go even more gung ho, so it leaves more spaces for us. So it's all about like those moments where you need to take your chances. And I think a massive goal and boss to see McAllister. I think it's a second goal for the club. So and long may it continue.
Yeah, the first goal was a screamer against Fulham. So, you know,
what a strike that was, man. You know.
Yeah. But yeah, I agree with you in everything there. Like Salah comes on obviously because of the injury, but you know, and you know, looking at it now with the facts, obviously that was too early for him because of the injury situation that is at this moment. But you know, when he comes in, he still, you know, has such an impact on the game, even though he's been out playing the FA Cup and then been out injured. He comes in, have that assist, and you know, he's involved straight away. So that proves how much Salah is, you know, an important player for not only for us, but just the way he comes in and, you know, have an impact in football games. You know, he's a superstar. He's got all the qualities, you know, and we know that obviously, but you know, because he's playing every week, we also are very used to, you know, well, we know he's going to score or assist and stuff, but when he's been out for a bit and the team has actually been playing very well without him, then you see when he comes in that he's straight on, have this impact. And sometimes you think like, well, the others are not playing so well. He comes in, maybe he will make that rhythm wobble a bit, you know, like because now they need to change a little bit as well because they've been playing so good in form, the other three. But, you know, it's never really a problem. He just comes in and does what he does best. And obviously with the assist and the goal, like you said, in the 50, what was it like, 50 minute, 55, something like yeah. that. Yeah. And, you know, it's a perfect timing of scoring the second goal because it's Brentford away. We're leading 1-0 after a bus goal from Nunez. But then to get 2-0 up away against them when we need to win, we obviously know that we need to win this game. It's another cup final, if you like. And then to score that goal in that moment, just I wouldn't say it kills the game, but it takes loads of, you know, energy off them, like it just go, you know, deflates them in a way and be like, oh fucking hell. And you know, you talked about Jones getting injured, Jota getting injured, and at that moment we obviously didn't know how serious the injuries would be, but to see you know, a lad that, as Gravenberch coming in and doing really well, and we talk about him doing great in the Luton game as well, you know, it's just obviously, it's not ideal, but to have those kind of players on the bench that can come in and do a job for us and got the quality, being young, you know, and being having so much talent and quality that can be developed going forward as well. You know, he's been given shit from some, you know, fans, especially on Twitter. Obviously, we know how it is there. But, you know, I don't understand the moan about, you know, oh, it's this or that, maybe, you know, even Gakpo. And now we've seen them play, you know, in the two games since the injuries, and they've been brilliant. So, again, I would say stop moaning and complain about players that are actually quality players. Everyone can't play at the same time, but we've got such a good squad that when someone is actually out, now we've got many, you know, players out, so it's not ideal. But when we've got some players out and we can actually put them in on the pitch, it still doesn't make us worse or, you know, we're less better. We're actually very, very good still. So, you know, to see him come in and perform like that, even if that's because of an injury that we don't like, obviously, I'm just happy for him that, you know, he shows that he got the levels that he can, you know, tell the supporters to doubt in that I got quality to play in this team. So, yeah, that was brilliant. And 2-0 up at that time with the place that we had, you know, on the pitch, you know, Brentford away. You can't complain, really, can you?
Yeah, I think it's interesting with the like the injury stuff you mentioned. Like, I think it is like the perfect catch-22 situation for Liverpool, because these players that are on the bench, like the Gravenberches and the Gakpos, if they're out of form, they won't be in the 11. Because there's players in better form, they're scoring more goals, et cetera, et cetera. So when they come on the field for 15 minutes and they've not got enough time, then they're going to be on the bench again, unless they, I don't know, score a hat-trick or whatever. But then if someone gets injured, then they're coming onto the field, they're playing more minutes, then they're making themselves into, they're playing themselves into form. So it's one of them things that you can't just expect someone to be on the bench and play 10 minutes, 15 minutes, half an hour, and then come onto the pitch every time and be amazing. It's one of them that when they get that rhythm, I think we have got quite a lot of rhythm players that thrive on playing every week. I think maybe the Gravenberches and the Gakpos are two big signifiers of that, because I think Gravenberch, I think the more he plays, the more he'll get used to the league, the intensity. I think the games that he's played, the Brentford and Luton game, high intensity, needs to fly into tackle, stuff that maybe isn't his natural game. He's more of a, he's silky as fuck, like those little drag backs and touches he does to go past people. He's one of the best I've seen at doing that. He's ridiculous. I think he's one of them that he's only allowed the chances because of the injuries, and of course we don't want the injuries. So it's like, it's one of them, like, like you said, the main point is to have the options. That's the main thing. Like we always say, like, having these people on the bench, we've said it before, like, they're always gonna come in handy. They're going to always have to come in and pull the weight and make sure that they get back up to speed and back up to form, and we're seeing that, thankfully. And then, yeah, we make it even better. 13 minutes later, Salah gets on the score sheet, and then 3-0, 20 minutes to go. You're like, right, we should be all right here. Of course, Brentford going on score, like, 7 minutes later, Ivan Toney and Kelleher makes a good save, and then they score off it. But then we seal it off with Gakpo. Just I love, like, these players that were, like, scoring recently, and it's just like, because it's so shared around all the goals, we're not really, like, thinking, oh, he's in form, like Diaz. Like, I think it's, like, under the radar a little bit how good they're playing. And we'll get on to Diaz and, like, how many chances he had last night, which is ridiculous. But I love that, like, we're, like, everyone's chipping in with goals. I think it's so vital, especially when, like, your main goal scorer goes off to AFCON and then gets injured and then comes back and he's not fully fit, and you need to share the goals around. I think it's such a massive asset to have, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, it's brilliant. Then with Gakpo, you know, coming on, and then obviously with the assist to Salah, you know, which is a strong one, obviously, on his head. You know, he's a big lad, even though he's quick and stuff, and with technique as well. But, you know, he got that assist, and then he scores as well. A great goal, you know, great finish. A finish that we would see Darwin Nunez, you know, do more in those situations. Just, you know, really hard, just down on the floor without the keeper having a chance. You know, I had people on Twitter during the game when both Gravenberch and Gakpo, obviously on the pitch at the same time, were moaning about it, saying, you know, it's because they, so, you know, in some games maybe they haven't been at the top. They haven't, like you said, it probably depends because of they haven't played that much, so they haven't got the rhythm. And sometimes, yes, it could look a little bit sleepy, and they don't come up into the levels that you expect them to do. But that's quite normal because they're playing all the time. But, you know, I had to reply to that tweet and say, oh, he's shit, Gakpo. No, you know, first an assist for Salah and then a goal. You know, it must be so shit to have him on the pitch. Obviously, we don't want the injuries, and, you know, Gravenberch as well. You know, he provided a strong challenge that made the ball go to Salah when he passed it into to McAllister. So he scored. So Gravenberch had a part in that goal as well, because he was very physical, strong in a moment where he won the ball. So, you know, they're playing their part. They're doing their job. So stop, you know, moaning and doubting them, because, yeah, they might not be the best option in terms of form when you look at Curtis Jones and, you know, Jota as well, you know, playing, because they've been brilliant, and with the McAllisters and even Soberslay's out, obviously. But, you know, they might not be the first option. They might not be the best option always, but they are a good enough option when we need them. And that's the main point. They're not like Christian Paulsen and fucking Konchesky's and shit. They're actually quality players, being very young and still very... You know, like I said before, they have plenty of time to develop these players, and they got so much, you know, talent that you think like, well, they're so young. Like Gakpo, obviously a little bit older than Gravenberch, but you know, he's only 21. So instead of you saying, oh, they're on the pitch at the same time, this is shit and stuff, and then you see Gakpo going, being one of the best players on the pitch, assisting and scoring, and Gravenberch puts in a shift and everything. So I don't understand why you put such a negative mindset on two players that you see performing great. And then, you know, people can turn and be like, oh, yeah, they did great. Yeah, but that's the thing. Stop giving them shit before they actually had the chance to prove themselves. If they are shit in 2-3 games in a row and don't do anything and they're very out of form, yes, I can understand. Then you can go and say, well, they're not good enough at the moment. They should put on the bench if we don't have, obviously, the injuries. But to say they are shit before they actually even kick the ball on the pitch when they're coming on or whatever, it's just very weird supporting, I guess, you know, being that kind of support, I don't understand.
I you know what, I must have blocked all them people because I haven't seen anyone say that. So I'm loving life over here. I've seen no one shit talk, and I've blocked that many people. I just surround myself with like-minded people because otherwise I go crazy, to be fair. Yeah. Twitter's, but I know what you mean, because it would be easy to find. You only have to search the word Gravenberch or the word Gakpo.
Yeah,
scroll down. But we know what we think of Twitter. It's just a mad place. But like you said, they got a goal by excuse me by Gakpo to finish the game off, and yeah, it was just a nice ending to that game, and you could just chill then 4-1. And then we, of course, have to talk about last night, where we were talking about the injuries, and we didn't realize, I guess, we kind of knew Jota because he got stretchered off. We knew that was going to be a bad one, but Jones out, Jota out, then Salah's out, and then Nunez is out. Turns out when we get them close to the kickoff, and you're like, "Wow, this is going to be." I mean, it's these games. It's like because of the injuries and that. It's like it is setting itself up for an upset, and obviously the commentators love it. The rival fans, Arsenal fans, and City fans are like, "Oh yeah, come on! There's a massive chance here for Luton." Everton fans are probably cheering us on, which is probably a weird thing. They probably celebrated all four goals last night, which is a nice thing to think about. But it's like when you're looking at the lineup and you're missing all those players going into this Luton game, it's like fucking hell. If you, I mentioned earlier, like if you like Jones and Jota coming off, and like only maybe City or Arsenal could bring on similar quality to them to lose those quality, but then to go into this game and miss all of them players, I honestly believe there's no other club in world footy who could be missing 11 players, albeit I think seven of them are like ones who played often this year, but even still, seven players who played, who would be in the first team pretty much, not available, and to go on and just make it harder for ourselves, of course, like we always do. We go 1-0 down. Luis Diaz, I think had six shots in that first half, and me and you were texting like, fucking hell, every time we get through on goal, we either just fuck it wide, or we just, the right, like Elliot tried a pass and it went just a little bit too much on it, and Diaz couldn't get on the end of it, and then Klopp has to go at the main stand, absolutely tears some fella's head off, which I absolutely loved. and in around all of that, they score on a counter-attack, and that's what they're good at. And you're going into half-time 1-0 down, and you're like, is it going to be one of them games? But the way it turned out in the second half, I mean, I would have, 2-1 would have been lovely. I mean, the way we were playing in that first half, I mean, we were making chances, but it just seemed like we could play in them games where you could play for 180 minutes and you'd be like, you'd never score, because it's just not happening. But missing the players, like missing Alisson, missing Trent, Soberslay, Nunez, Jota, Matip.
Yeah, I know. It's
when you list them, It is ridiculous. And when you've got Harvey Elliott right wing, you've got Gakpo putting a massive shift up top, you've got Diaz doing the same on the left, Endo and McAllister, ridiculous, we'll get into them. But it was just it was just a mad game overall, weren't it? But one again where it shows just how, I mean, I've never really wanted to talk about like mentality monsters after like Klopp dubs as that like a few years ago. But the way we're going, and every time we're any slight adversity, we seem to know how to like find the answer. And I just find that like it's very satisfying. But it shows the quality that we've got throughout the squad as well.
Yeah, and you know, I want to mention what you started off with there, like the list of players that we are missing: in Alisson, Trent, Szoboszlai, Salah, Nunez, you know, Jones, Jota. You know, I saw someone posting like starting 11 or players that are out, and you know, saying it might have been the Redmen, I don't know, but you know, said something about this starting 11 of the injured players would, you know, go and beat any team in the world on the day. You know, they put up a fight against any of their world's best teams. And it's weird that they are all out, and we're still obviously the first half was not good. I think you know, against Luton, we, you know, I had, again, Twitter, sorry to bring it up, but you know, people saying we were shit, but you know, I was like, we're not shit, we, you know, we're owning them totally, we're dominant. It's just the final third, the final ball, the final finish that is shit, and we need to sort that out. But you know, apart from the goal that they got because of a, you know, counter attack, they got the, they had a shot, you know, it went on Callagher and up and they scored. You know, moments like them can happen. It's not like you can prevent every single chance or minute chance that a team will have against you, because we're really good on defend, you know, with defending, with, in terms of, we've got, you know, Van Dijk, who's, you know, brilliant, and Kwanzaa and Konate and the other lads as well, you know, helping out in defense. But it's not one of them where you dominate the majority of the game. And I was not nervous. You know, you look at the starting 11 and thinking, it is what it is. You know, but we've still got quality there. We've got, you know, McAllister, we've got Endo, we've got Gakpo, we've got Diaz, we've got Van Dijk, we've got, you know, Bradley, we know he's good. You know, Keller is not bad. You know, we still got a good team on the pitch. So let's just, you know, see what they can do. And then I think, you know, we start off really well. I didn't think Luton had anything except for that goal. And yes, they came on counterattacks at some points, but it was never any danger really. And then obviously we couldn't finish and score, because we were texting, like you said, saying we could have been at least 1-0 up, or even 2-0 up here if Definitely. We were more clinical, but it didn't happen. They scored, and yes, it's one of them. But when people say we were shit, it's a fucking disgrace, I never seen us this bad, I was like, fucking hell, we've been dominating the whole first half. It's just the final third and the clinical in the finish that we need to sort out. Yeah. It's not that bad. If they were on us all the time, having shots on target, you know, making us being, you know, running back, chasing, having loads of troubles, I would agree. But that was not happening. So sometimes people, you see things very weirdly, I guess. But, you know, I sensed when we were going half time, like you said, that might be one of them where I wrote to you as well, we might just push and push and push for a goal, and they will counter in 2-0. And exactly. Then it's probably over, because it's going to be, you know, something that takes our energy out of us, because we were working so hard. But the team that come out in the second half, like you said, you refer to the mentality monsters, and you can say what you want about that or think what you want about that. But I think, you know, it's part of it. But also, I would say we're there, you know, that working our socks off. Monsters as well, because the way they go out as a team
crazy
together and do that second half is, you know, one of the best halves I've seen for a long time from a Liverpool team. And we've seen some great fucking halves, even if it's what the first or second half. Yeah, you know, it's just unbelievable how they go together as the collective, as a team. And that's what I love. They work for each other. They got the morality for each other, respect for each other, to try to turn this around. And my God, did they turn it around in a brilliant way. You know, it's just, it's unbelievable. And with all the injuries, you know, you have to give credit to all the players that was on that pitch and performing that in the second half last night.
Yeah, I think Chelsea, like recently, that was like one of the best performances for ages. Definitely one of the best like first halves for ages. And yeah, the second half last night is definitely up there, and only because of how good it was, but also when you factor in all the missing fellas, like all the missing lads, and you can still put in a performance like that, I mean, it's absolutely incredible. It really is. But we need to stop. Obviously, we need to talk about the goals. Captain steps up to the plate. He was dying to get on a header in the first half. You could see he was getting dragged all over the gaff that first half, like, and he never makes a fuss of it. He never dives or falls over. He's always trying to stay up and gives as good as he gets. But the second half, I just had I was hoping that one of them corners would, because there's quite often where play corners in and it's flies over everyone's head, and it's like, well, now the second ball needs to be pretty good, otherwise that corner is like a bit of a waste, really. But yeah, he gets his head on it. Nice little knee slide, does his little celebration, little whatever that is, the little fucking thing under his chin. I can't explain it. It's weird, but it's funny. And then yeah, 56 minutes into the game, you're like, right, we've 25 minutes here to properly just build on this. And it was at that moment I was like, right, it's not going to be one of them games. Thank fuck, it's not going to be one of them games, because we've actually scored a goal. I think Mike Reeds, he sent me something before the game, and I don't think he's posted this. I don't know if I should say this, but he said something like, the top goal scorer in that 11 was Van Dijk, which I thought was just like, wow, it says a lot that like he's scored the most goals for us out of all them players, and he goes and gets the first goal. I think it was quite, yeah, I just love the like how synchronized that was. Like the captain stepped up and got the goal, and it was a lovely goal. And it was like at that moment, we're like, right now, I think you said in the group chat straight away, right now, fucking get on them. I think you said certain words to that effect. Just, I was like, right,
yeah, this is go the with time, the momentum. Man. Yeah, exactly. Go with the momentum there, because you know we're in the zone, we're in the mode, and you know Anfield, you know, just this big roar from the crowd came up from that goal, obviously, and you know the atmosphere was just ramped up and was brilliant from that goal and going into the second goal that we talk about. But you know, I think, you know, when you talk about, you know, Van Dijk, and obviously he had his down moments after injuries and, you know, last season where everyone was shit. But, you know, I saw something about Carragher say, you know, he's the best defender the Premier League has ever seen by a mile or something like that. And, you know, I'm a Liverpool fan, I know that. But, you know, I agree, because I have not seen a defender. And obviously from the moment he arrived at Liverpool and the way he played since then and the levels he shown, and you know the bar that he raised in terms of being a central defender in the modern football, I have not seen anyone being as good as him all over, as it comes to, you know, being great on his head, you know, reading the game, good with his feet, composure, calmness, scoring goals. There's a few up there, but you know, I think he's the best one that we've ever seen. And you know, to be the captain, to score that goal and to get the crowd going brilliantly. And I think, you know, we just have to, you know, sometimes remind ourselves that he's not going to play for us forever. And, you know, being the best one that we've ever seen, you know, when he leaves or when he finishes career or whatever, you will be like, will we see another one being at that level? You know, when or if, you know, it's sometimes you have to remind yourself that, you know, you're seeing history being made in the moment, but you won't remember it until obviously afterwards and be like, fucking hell, it was good him, you know. So yeah, brilliant, brilliant goal, and we needed to ride on that way, which we did, obviously.
Yeah, I think it is interesting, because it's like this team, this manager, this defender, yeah, Van Dijk, this winger Mo Salah, like we're seeing them now, but you can appreciate it as much as you can, but it's only like 5 years time, or hopefully 10 years time, or whatever. Van Dijk's what, 33 this year, so hopefully he can go for another 5 years at least at the top level, like Thiago Silva's doing it, so why can't Van Dijk? It's only like after, when you get a new wave and a new manager, new players move on, and you're like, oh, Canelli was the best. And I think it says a lot that all these defenders now, like coming through, will be like, I want to be Virgil van Dijk. I think that says a lot. Like they want to be good, and I think there's been so many good defenders in the past who are very good. John Terry and Ferdinand and whatever. But like being good at everything in this era of footy, like being fast, being strong, being able to pass like a midfielder, being able to score goals, being able to tackle, like every stat you need to be an amazing defender in this current game. He's got it, and he's the best at it. And it's like, it's incredible that one, if you wanted to build a defender in a machine, you'd be like, well, fuck the machine. Like, there's a fella there. He's got everything.
Yeah, yeah. You ask AI if they can build the best defender, and it will put Virgil van Dijk.
It is amazing. Like I said, he's had his down moments, and he's the first to admit that. He's got massive standards for himself. And I think, especially the Arsenal game where he had that fuck up and stuff, it's so unlike him. So when anything ever happens, like it's always been, oh, look what Van Dijk did. And then I think a couple of years ago, against Spurs, he slipped over. That's still getting like put on Twitter now. I still see that now and again when he fell over.
That's the only thing they have on him.
That's what I mean. He's, the clips of him doing something wrong or him falling over or like slipping or whatever. I just think it's like because the bar's so high, it's ridiculous. But again, I just love that he's been at the club for so long. Now he's captain and it's Klopp's last season. I'm just hoping like it's like set up perfectly for him to lift his first lift the Premier League. Obviously, hopefully he'll lift his first trophy on Sunday for us. But to be lifting the Premier, I don't even want to talk about it. I don't want to jinx it. But yeah, I just absolutely love the fella. And then, like you said, get on them straight away. We fucking did get on them straight away because we scored within 2 minutes. And it was like, that is like, I love the way, like when the first goal goes in, it's like, it is what you want from a team when you've got like the bit between your teeth and you're like, right, we've got these here. But you need to do it within the next like 5 minutes, really. You need to get that goal pretty quick. Otherwise, they're going to be like, right, we've rode that wave. We can now focus on getting back up the field. But they couldn't do that because we didn't allow them to. I think Rob Edwards, like their manager, referenced it lovely at the end of the game where he was saying, that's Anfield. Like the atmosphere is so good. Our players couldn't hear themselves. They couldn't speak to each other because it was too loud. And when it gets like that, the play, like, the synchronization, I just fucking love that, where the players and the crowd basically become one. It might sound cringy to someone who's not a Liverpool fan, but it's complete, like, they completely plug into each other. And it's like, right, use a fuck now, because there's no way you're winning this game. And it's happened so many times where it's like, it's not just a fluke anymore. It happens, and it happens at usually Champions League games, but there's some games like this one where it just crops up and it goes, right, that was a game where everything clicked in that moment, and it was like, wife, you're getting battered now. I think the Gakpo goal was just like another step to us just being like, right, we're just going to absolutely score as many as we want here now.
Yeah, you know, that goal is a little bit, obviously it's great and well done, but it's also a little bit of luck. But that's the luck you get when you get the energy from the first goal, and you like you said, synchronize with the supporters and the way that the team goes on straight after the loot and, you know, kicks off the game again. They go straight at them, and this chance comes up, and, you know, McAllister just, you know, fucking, you know, he blasts that goal into the penalty area, and Gakpo's head is just there, and he just, you know, makes it go into the goal. He doesn't have to do anything than just direct the ball because it's so hard. And sometimes you have that luck when you're in that kind of zone and moment after the first goal, because you're feeling the self-confidence, you feel the crowd behind you, and you've been lifted by that. And that's when you need to take those opportunities, and it arised, and it was there, and he scored, and, you know, the cool celebration, you know, not doing nothing, just walking towards the supporters was brilliant. But, you know, we got that 2-1, and, you know, I guess I wouldn't say, you know, it's totally killed off Luton. It kind of did, but, you know, I guess that's the moment where they go like, oh, you know, this is...
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's done now because of the crowd, the atmosphere, the way the Liverpool played. Because we came out running at them from, you know, in the second half from the start, and, you know, when we scored that goal, I just think, you know, that kind of momentum that you get from scoring 2 goals in 2 minutes and turn the game around after being 1-0 down, it just gives you something, especially when you're playing at home. So it would be a really difficult task for them to, you know, get something out of the game from Luton, obviously.
Yeah, and then and Diaz then. We mentioned like the first half, he had so many chances, and he was, I think the first one he had in the game where he's literally threw on goal, a lovely ball by Kelleher, and he's in. It was so early on. I think it just caught him a bit cold, and he was just like, I don't think he was quite ready in that moment to take them steps he needed and just whip it bottom corner, because we know he's capable of doing that. Yeah. And he misses them chances, and obviously we said it feels like one of them games. And then once we're in that synergy and within that type of energy where we're just, anything's going to go in, you get to the goal. And I love that he missed all them chances, but he still had the presence of mind and the confidence just to score the way he did. And I think like just 10 minutes after the Gakpo goal, it's like, well, now the game is definitely done at 3-1. But just having the confidence again, like you've missed a load of chances, but don't let it get you down, just keep going. And it's that thing that we say about most of these players, like all the players, in fact, like the mentality, like it just like it doesn't matter if it goes wrong. Like I'm sure Darwin Nunes gets told it every single day. Like it doesn't matter if you miss three, you'll score the fourth or whatever. If you miss two, you'll score the third or whatever it is. Just keep going until you get the goal, until you get the assist, until you make the like you said, the Gravenberch where you make that block and then it makes a goal. Like those little things are so key in games, and I think we see that so often now with this side. And but I was just made up for Diaz to get that goal, because now we've got five different players. We've now reached 10 goals in a season for the Reds for the second time in the last 8 seasons. So again, like we said earlier, like spreading out the goals, but to have five different players on 10 plus goals already is just a massive sign of just how good these lads are.
Yeah, and I'm happy for him, you know, because we already talked about before, you know, all the things that he went through with his dad. Obviously in the stands as well, because, you know, they were filming him when he scored, you know, and all that shit.
You know, I love with that as well, like the celebration, and then he's got like obviously Liverpool's top on with the gloves, and then a cut to his dad, and he's got the same, like the top on with the same gloves. It just panned over, and I was like, it looks the exact same. Just, I love that bit. I love that.
Yeah, but you know, I'm happy for him because, like you said, the way, you know, you can say, oh, he's been out of form, he's been in form. You know, we can see that he's coming back to his best, but he hasn't scored as much maybe as we know that he can do. He got the skills for it, and he needs to maybe be a little bit more direct and actually find those moments. But you know, he keeps on going. He has his moments in the first half where we both, like we said, we were texting each other and saying, you know, he needs to at least hit the target, because you know, you need to make the goalkeeper work. You can't just come into these chances and not hit the target. You know, you might miss the target once, but you know, to miss it like 3-4 times, it'd be like, come on, you're a striker here, so you need to, you know, make the goalkeeper work. But he doesn't let him down. You know, he continues to work hard. He's always on the defenders. He's always running at them with the ball, you know, trying to do things. And I love that, because that's the way Nunez does as well. And it's probably a very much a South American thing in mentality as well, because they just keep on going with their energy. You know, they're a little bit mad, I would say. But I love that, though. but, you know, he's coming there and he's scoring the goal. You can just see how much it means to him and obviously his family and his dad and that. But it means loads for us as well. 3-1 and, you know, it's all done. And he knows that as well. And that's the way, you know, you look at him celebrating, because he knows as well, now we won this game, you know, after turning it around, being 1-0 down and, you know, another cup final, as we like to say, because we need to win every game, basically. So I'm just made up for him. And it means that, you know, he's also someone that comes in with a confidence in goal scoring. And we look ahead at the final on Sunday. You know, we know that there is an injury situation. We don't know who's going to be available in terms of, obviously, Salah and Nunez. We don't really know where they are. We'll see. But you know, to have Gakpo scoring, Diaz scoring, you know, the front man now because of the injuries, it means that it's great for us going forward. But it's also means it's great for them personally, because they provide and contribute to this team. And you know, we know that we got the quality. So I'm just, you know, happy that they are. We're not, obviously, we're missing the players that are injured. But we are not missing them as much as, you know, you would think that we would do. But, you know, at the moment, the other players stepping up, doing the work. It's not ideal, but they're doing the work, and that's what I respect them for and love them for, obviously.
Yeah, I think if you can have your second string in inverted commas doing, like, a good representation of what the first lads would be doing, then you're absolutely smashing it. I think we're seeing that as well, which is again, like you said, as boss. And I just want to talk about, like, the... Mike Reed's getting a lot of shouts in here. Opta's Mike Reed. I'll probably have to do a stat show with him, but I've probably used all the material. Sorry, Mike. But just after the goal, Bobby Clark comes on for Gravenberch, who again, like we said, was very good in this game, I thought. McConnell comes on for McAllister, and Jaden Danz comes on for Luis Diaz. So Neil Danz's son, which I just think is just like, when you're getting these like footy manager, like son regens who are like, having like Lee Clark and Neil Dan's sons on the field together in a game. It's just, I love shit like that. But Mike posted like a stat. So it basically says, in Harvey Elliott, 20, Jarrell Kwanza, 21, Gravenberch, 21, Bradley, 20, Bobby Clark, 19, James McConnell, 19, and Jaden Danz, 18. Last night versus Luton was the first time in our history that they had 7 players aged 21 or younger playing the same league game. I think it's a perfect testament to what Klopp is about. Like, he always says, don't want to buy players if I don't have to, because I want to leave the pathway for the youngsters. And he stood by that the whole way he's been at the club. I think it's sad in a way that, like, he's like leaving now, and there's so many good young players that you just absolutely love for him to see through like another, like just like let's see through Jadon Dans till he's 22 or 21 and see where he's at then under like Klopp's like tutelage. And, like, it's just it is mad, but again it's a sign of like not just our academy, because obviously some of them players we've bought and brought in, but it's again it's a sign of like just building those youth players up and even if we're signing them from other clubs at a younger age, they're coming to our club because they know it's the best opportunity for them to be the best version of themselves, not just because they're going to get chances, but because they're going to be under Jurgen Klopp as well, which like we always say, like any other player goes to any other club, if you bring them to Liverpool instead, 9 times out of 10 they're going to be a better player than they would be going into any other club. That's just the way it is. That's just the way it lands. I always say Jadon Sancho, if Wither came to us, I think he'd be boss now. Timo Werner, I think the same. Like there's loads of players where it's the perfect environment we've created here. And that's why I'm a little bit sad, because when he leaves, of course, that's going to change because all the backroom staff go, Klopp leaves and all that. But in terms of like the stat I've just mentioned, like it's just so, it's boss, isn't it, when you can bring on players like that and they can have an impact in the game, and they're not just making up the numbers, they're coming on because they deserve it as well, because the stuff they're doing in training.
Yeah, and I read something on Twitter as well that, you know, since Jurgen Klopp came into our club, he's had like 42 or 45 youngsters having their, you know, debut for the first team or something like that, which means he's given like 5 youngsters a year the chance to prove themselves in the first team, which says a lot about our academy, about Klopp, and obviously how they develop talent, how they find talent. So, you know, the future is bright in that sense. You know, not everyone will make it to the highest level and play for Liverpool long term, but, you know, I'm sure many of the youngsters that we see now on the bench coming in, like Clark, you know, Dans, you got obviously Gordon, but he's playing obviously in the under 21 after his injuries and stuff, but you got them there, and you got McConnell and Bradley obviously showing, you know, what he can do since he broke through in the first team. There's loads of players there that I think we will see in the future playing for Liverpool. You know, it might be 20 games, it might be 50, it might be 100, like Elliot that we will talk about soon. But, you know, I'm sure they will play their part. Some of them will be moved on. Yes, that's the way it is. But I feel that so many of them have the levels to have an impact and, you know, play a part in the Liverpool team. Whether there will be, like I said, a couple of games or a 10 games, or if it would be a long-term thing, I think they got the quality to at least try and prove themselves and try to get to that level, which is good. So because some youngsters you can see and you know that they don't get it, they don't have it, which is sad, but you can see that these players have been molded into the youth, from the youth teams, in the way that we play, in the same kind of system, how we play. You can see straight away when on the pitch they know their roles and they know what to do. The only thing that you can see sometimes the difference is obviously being unexperienced and don't have the same maybe strength, but you can see that they understand how we play, and that's a very good start, you know, when it comes to coming on and having an impact, like Dan's had, and we will talk about that now, I guess.
Yeah, and we'll talk about Elliot, because we might as well talk about the goal, because like you said, Dan's gets involved, and he wins it back, and he plays it through, and then Elliot scores on his make a 4-1 on his 100th Liverpool appearance. I just think that's it's mad, because he's still only 20, but. He always just feels older in my head, because he's been around for so long. And again, Mike Reid, I'm robbing another stat. He's the fourth youngest in our history to reach 100 appearances. So the only 3 quicker are Michael Owen, Raheem Sterling, and Robbie Fowler. So we've done it quicker than Trent, done it quicker than Phil Tomo, done it quicker than Steven Gerrard, which I think is mad. Yeah. And I think him and the goal and capping off his performance, where it, again, like we said, first half it wasn't quite there. He was snatching at shots, is maybe overplaying those 3 balls a little bit too much, but he keeps going, he keeps working, he runs. Even 8 minutes at injury time, I think 90 plus 7, he was still running his ass off, closing stuff down. It's like the game's done, it's 4-1. You could forgive him a little bit, just be like, oh, I won't put 100% in case I pull a hammy and I'm out of Sunday. He was still going full fucking throttle, chasing stuff down. And he just epitomizes, and again, like all the players do, that work rate and energy and fighting to win and willing to win. He just epitomizes it so much. And I love that he got the goal to cap it off as well.
Yeah, because I got another stat from Opta Joe that I will read out as well. It's about Harvey Elliott, and I think because I saw, you know, comments again, Twitter, you know, saying, you know, he wasn't good in the first half and stuff. And I was like, well, he wasn't bad though. Like, he wasn't, you know, perfect in the final third. Like you said, he probably overpassed or, you know, took the wrong decision when it comes to, you know, shooting or whatever. And you were waiting for that moment where he finds that through ball and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, you can't be, you know, perfect all the time, but he's still young. He's still, you know, mostly coming off the bench to play for us. And it's like against Burnley when he had this impact, you know, of two assists, making us win in that game. You can't take that away from him. And like you said, he's 20 years old and already made 100 appearances for Liverpool. That says something about him as a player and talent. And also it says something about how Klopp rates him, because you wouldn't use a young kid like that, even if it's coming off the bench, to come in and have an impact in a game where you need something to happen, because you know that he's got the quality, you know that he's got the work rate, he's not going to be a lazy bastard, he's going to work his socks off, because that's what he does. So I'm going to read this stat out, which I really, really like, because of the people who gave him shit and say, you know, he's not good enough and all that kind of stuff. It says, age 20, Javier Elliott tonight was the youngest player on record from 2008-2009 to score, have 5-plus shots, 5, create 5-plus chances, 7, have 10-plus touches in the opposition box, 17, and make 25-plus passes ending in the final third, 27 in a Premier League game. Everywhere, it says. He's everywhere on the fucking pitch. The little map that I can see here, it's just loads of red dots of Harvey Elliott being fucking everywhere doing stuff for us. Passes, tackles, running, shots, creating things. So he might not have, you know, been the perfect in the first half, but in the second half and the way he worked throughout the game and the performance he puts in, the shift and, you know, the graft and also the technical stuff with the passes and shots. And yes, he might have, you know, we want him to maybe score another one or have another assist or whatever, but you can't take away the overall performance that you can read by that stat and you say he's shit, because he had a crucial impact on the game for us to win it. So all credit to Harvey Elliott.
Massively. I saw that one. I absolutely loved it. It's like when you can see, like you said, it's not, if someone's not having a like amazing game, like first half, where it's not quite going for them, and then second half, and then you can just, it's like we've said the whole show, like just keep going, running, and you'll get your rewards. And I think that's something that the whole lads, every single lad, are doing these days. And it's just, yeah, it's so boss to see, because I think I always think about the middle of last season where, again, we were just saying like everyone looks fucked, no one gives it, looks like no, everyone's tired and energy's gone and whatever. Now it's like complete opposite, and we're showing proper fight and proper energy, and that's the first thing you want to see. Like, you want to see that first and then sprinkle the quality in as well. But if you haven't got that work rate, you're not going to win for Hull, unfortunately. You've got to work your ass off every game, and Harvey Elliott epitomizes that.
I was just going to say, you know, I never played football and, you know, at a higher level or anything, but and you don't want to be like, oh, build yourself up. I actually see those kind of things when I watch football, because I've been watching so much football and seeing, obviously, live and on TV. And I guess there's so many more people obviously out there doing the same if you support a team or if you support Liverpool. But if someone just, you know, goes on Twitter and say, Harvey Elliott's being crap, he's not good enough to play for us, and doesn't see, you know, the work rate and the other parts that he puts in, which I, to be honest, see, because I can also say, yeah, he needs to finish better there, or that pass needs to be better because that's not good enough. It doesn't mean I think he's shit or not good enough for, you know, playing for us, because I see the runs that he does, the pressure that he puts on the position players, you know, the tackles he puts in, the balls he wins, because that's what you have to put in as well. You can't always rate a player on the crucial moments where you think someone should have scored or you think a pass should have been, you know, much better, because yes, you want it to be better. You want them to do better there, and they should do better most of the times, because that's when you find your way to win games. But you have to look at the overall performance and see, you know, what did he do defensively? What kind of passes did he put in? Did he, you know, he had some corners, which was really good. You know, he's always running, like I said. So there's so many more things that you need to have in perspective when you rate someone and say, is he shit or is he actually having a good game, or did he have an overall really good performance for us? I think obviously he was not good enough in the first half. He needed to do things better. He was great in the second half.
I think it's one of them with Elliott. I think it's because he's not got a defined position really yet. He's a bit like a he was right wing, he can play him in midfield and whatever. And because he's not got blistering pace, or he's not got like a proper thing where you go, he's amazing. Like, or like, for example, his top ability is this. Yeah, yeah. So like, somebody plays, you go,
I think he's really good in everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's not, I mean, he's not great in
he's,
certain.
He's more rounded.
Exactly. Yeah. He's like very good in all things.
But like some wingers, like he's very quick and he's got a good cross on him. He's got a good shot. He's got good dribbling ability. Blah blah. He's just got. He's a good all rounded player. I think it's hard to, because he's a Liverpool fan. And then it's like you're trying to fit him into the position where he's needed. Of course, he's been on the bench loads and came off the bench and been so key for us. But I think he's got his contribution in terms of goals he can improve on. But he's still only 20, like, just having a look now. So 100 games, 8 goals and 5 assists, which we think most of them appearances are probably last 15, last 10 of a game, exactly. Maybe last 5 of a game, whatever. So I'd love to see, I'd have to break it down and see.
So someone would come in straight away and say, oh, he's played 100 games for us, but he only scored 5. Yeah, but fuck off. He probably just played 10, 15 minutes in most of those games. And sometimes he even, you know, contributes with 2 assists, like against Burnley. So again, you have to have the perspective of things. Like, yes, he's played 100 games for us, but he hasn't played 100 times full 90 minutes. Exactly. Yeah. So it's more like, yes, he's coming in because he's good enough, but he's maybe not a starter just yet, but he's only 20. There's loads of talent there. Keep on having trust, keep on having faith, you know, and see where that takes him, because I'm sure he will have loads of, you know, games played, full 90 minutes in the future for Liverpool, if nothing, you know, other things doesn't happen, obviously.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned, like, players having, like, an impact on the game. Like, I think those, like, it's because, like, Twitter's bad for it, and I don't see that much of it because I've blocked everyone. So you know, I'm just one of them. Fuck it, I can't be asked. But it's those little moments where, like you mentioned, like Gravenberch, just winning a tackle, and like, then you, if you score off it, like, that is so key. And I think we have to talk about Endo and McAllister. We have to, because it's ridiculous. Like, 51 million for both of them in this current market, which is fucking crazy. That is like some of the best business you'll ever see. Like, they're just like, just those little tackles, like the 50-50s, like just Endo winning headers. McAllister wasn't given. Barkley must have been absolutely fuming, like, because he wasn't leaving him alone all game. He was just buzzing around him, like foot in, sticking his ass out into him, and like trying to get his foot around him. And I love that.
Yeah,
since the injury, I posted like last night, like since his injury, he's been like Makalele. I posted like a Makalele compilation. I'm like, you know what? He's looking like Makalele, like flying into tackles, like good dribbling skills, getting on the ball, good passes in behind. He's one of them players, like, I guess similar to Harvey Elliott, where he can play anywhere. But Them players are just like, they're so key, man, and they're so vital. If they can do all the everything very good and in multiple positions to a high level, and you can play 6, 8 as a 9, you could play if we needed them as a false 9. I just think it's like him and Endo, I mean, it fucking hell, like, it's just ridiculous how, especially I think these games, we've seen it more, like the Brentford and the Luton games, where you know you're going to be facing long balls, you know you're going to have to fight, you know you're going to have to work the tackles, you're going to have to fly into everything. And I think in these games we've seen just how good they are. Even like, doesn't matter if you're smaller in stature, like fighting the heart, like they've both got massively, is something that we see from both of them, and I absolutely love it.
Yeah, you know what I love with McAllister is that, you know, he's this little, you know, playmaker, creative playmaker with great feet, but he's also someone who's got defensive skills. Like, he knows exactly how to use his body. He knows how to screen players off. He knows how to tackle and go in a, you know, I wouldn't say a perfect tackle, but you know how to use your body to get players out of the way and win the ball or cover the ball. I love that. And that's actually the same with Endo. I would say, you know, obviously McAllister's a better player with the ball at his feet than Endo, but I think Endo is actually the baller as well. You know, some passes that he does, so wins the ball, and actually when he wins the ball and puts Gakpo one-on-one with the goalkeeper, and Gakpo actually just, you know, get, you know, it's a terrible finish. But you know, the way that he just puts pressure on the opposition player, wins the ball and just puts it perfectly through, he got that in his locker as well. So it's one of them where you got this grafter who's really great with, you know, interrupt the opposition play, being the wall ahead of the defensive line, you know, being the one that protects them. But he also got the skills of great passes, you know, great finishes. So when he got the chance, we saw that against Fulham, he got the shot in him as well. But you know, I think them two together, just having defensive tasks and duties, but with offensive creativity. And obviously now with Endo in the team, Dan McAllister can go up a little bit further, but he's still got the defensive mindset high up the pitch, which I know obviously Klopp players and the, you know, to take the ball back high up the pitch. And that's what McAllister does when he plays a little bit further up the pitch, which I love. And then you've got Endo behind him, or they can swap a bit in positions. But, you know, with them too, it's like two little creative defensive engines where, you know, everything is really, really good. So like you said, the total amount that we paid for them, looking what the market is today, you find those, obviously we knew about McAllister, you know, playing the World Cup and all that. But, you know, to find Endo, this little gem from Stuttgart in the lower parts of the Bundesliga, and even a little bit older, you know, going into his 30s and all that. But you look at him now, he's one of the best defensive midfielders in the Premier League, no doubt, because he's playing in the team that is top of the league and he has a great impact in that role. So, you know, when you look at it, I wrote to in the group or to you last night, I can't remember if it was in the group or to you, but, you know, no one knew about Endo before we bought him. And when we bought him, everyone was like, who is this? And why are we buying him? And now you look at him, it's like, well, just waited for fucking Real Madrid to come and get him.
Yeah, it is. It is mad. Like, when you think, because I think we mentioned, like, when he first came in, you're like, you're not sure because, like, the age and, like, Klopp deviating from the model of, like, in between these ages only. And then he got his own way with Endo. And you're like, well, this fella needs to be good, really, because he's deviated from that, and we need a defensive midfielder. And I think from the early showings, he looked a little bit off the pace, but since then, fucking hell, he's been ridiculous. I think before he went off to the Asia Cup, he was just unbelievable. I think he's been the same since he came back. I was hoping, I was just praying that he was going to come back in the same form, and thankfully he has, which is just his boss. Yeah, and when you look at like our like recent results, of course, 4-1 over Luton, 4-1 over Brentford, 3-1 over Burnley. Let's not talk about the 3-1 loss to Arsenal. 4-1 over Chelsea, 5-2 win over Norwich in the FA Cup, 4-0 win over Bournemouth. It's like the amount of goals that we're scoring, like we keep saying, like the sharing the goals around, which is what we're seeing, and why we're seeing all of the lads like with high amounts of all in like plus 10 goals. It's just, his boss. And I saw another one where it's like most points from losing positions, and we're on 22, City are on, I think it was 17 or 18. But I was like, I love this stat, but I also hate it because, like, I don't want to keep going 1-0 behind. I want us to get a goal early, get a second one, get a third one, 3-0, bang, go home, like get everyone off, bring all the kids on, rest everyone you can. But I think it shows again another sign of like the mentality and how good we are, which is boss. But we'll leave it there because, again, we always say we'll do 40 and it turns into an hour, but it's hard to do when there's so much good stuff to talk about with the Reds. But yeah, nice one for listening. If you're still listening, really appreciate it. And of course, like I always say, thanks for keeping on listening to us, and we really do appreciate it. Any feedback we can get, we take it on board and we try and incorporate it and all that stuff. So keep that coming as well. But as always, really appreciate you guys listening. Thanks to Christian for jumping on once again, and we'll see you all next time, probably tomorrow for a little small matter of a Carabao Cup final against Chelsea. But we'll see you then. See you later. Ta-ra.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Kopai Podcast. Podcast Network.